You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Tuesday afternoon. Quick reminder, we are doing terrible jokes at 3:45 this afternoon. We've had a couple of weeks where I was out of town. I don't remember what was going on last Tuesday that we didn't do it. And I know we didn't do it the Tuesday before I left town. So it's been about a month.
Time to bring the joy
terrible
back.
Joke. Yeah, absolutely. The matchup between the New York Yankees and the L.A. Dodgers has fans clamoring for World Series tickets, and that means that prices are soaring. The morning after the Dodgers beat the Mets and earned their spot in the Fall Classic, tickets for the World Series were going for at least $1,000 depending on the game. Game one of the World Series is this Friday. The cheapest single ticket you can find is $1,034.
Okay. Am I the only one, show of hands, that couldn't even tell you who went further than we did? Because now that we're out, I just don't care.
Yes. Well,
I figured the Yankees were in it, but now that the Royals are not in it, I just don't care.
This is the first year the Yankees have been in it in 15 years.
Will you root for them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my parents are from New York. Yeah, I'll root for the Yankees.
Yeah, but I mean, talk about the least watched World Series ever. These are the two teams who have shown up in the World Series the most. Between the two of them, they've actually battled each other 11 times
in the
World Series.
It's also media market number one and media market number two.
I mean, if the baseball's good, then, you know.
Shohei Ohtani's in it, his first ever World Series.
Yeah.
Sam, wake up.
Oh, I mean, sorry.
It's not the Royals,
sorry.
But, you know, it'll do.
But let me tell you guys something. Because nobody believes me that the Chiefs are the most hated team in America.
Oh, I'm aware.
If the Royals were in the World Series, the only people who would be excited about it would be us. Nobody in Minneapolis or Chicago or Houston or Dallas or
you're
LA
right.
or New
you're
York
right.
want to watch the Royals in a World Series.
They want to watch their team.
That's right.
Yeah.
They couldn't care less that the Royals won the World Series in 2015 or even made the playoffs this year. Couldn't care less. They hate us.
They hate us.
Because they ain't us.
Because they ain't us.
That's right.
Harvey Weinstein has bone cancer.
Oh, man.
We'll not make that a topic. Continue on.
Darn it.
That was the only line of that story I was going to read. The rudest city in America. What do we have here? From the New York Post, when it comes to impolite places in the U.S., the Sunshine State is like a giant middle finger. The Big Apple, New York, has a reputation for rudeness, but is it really the most impolite city in the U.S.? Not according to a recent survey, which found that...
You tell me.
Miami.
No, oh!
Miami takes the cake.
Miami.
When it comes to having a discourteous populace.
Which, by the way, they have to deal with the largest influx of constant tourism, which
I'm just going to say
paves the streets and good for them. But if I were a local, I would be rude too.
Sure, during spring break, you are wishing everyone would go away.
Coming in second, Philadelphia. Third, Tampa, Florida. Wow. Rounding out the top five, Louisville, Kentucky, and Oakland, California.
I never would have guessed Louisville.
Louisville.
Craig, what's the most polite city? The least rude city in America, Omaha, Nebraska.
Aww.
You go, Omaha.
Followed by Minneapolis and San Diego. San Diego.
What does it stand for?
I'm not going to tell you because it'll get us
Germans
in trouble.
Well, the Germans founded it in 1910.
Okay.
Don't believe that's correct, Mr. Burgundy.
All right, we got to go to Georgia. What the heck happened over the weekend?
So this is not a bridge. This is a gangway. So
like a small metal walkway to get you.
Right. So it's on.
It's by every boat dock you've ever been on. The small metal thing that gets you from the land to the boat, dock or whatever.
So it's on Sapelo Island, which apparently is 4 miles offshore from mainland Georgia. This story says it is relatively untouched, has some dirt roads, some quaint little houses. But it says here, Georgia authorities said Sunday they are investigating the catastrophic failure of a dock gangway that collapsed and killed 7 people on an island off the state seacoast, where crowds gathered for a celebration by the island's tiny Gullah Geechee community of black slave descendants. It is a structural failure, said the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Walter Rabin. There should be very, very little maintenance to an aluminum gangway like that, but we'll see what the investigation unfolds. There were 40 people on the gangway, which led from the shore of the island to a dock where they could get on a boat. It is pedestrian only, of course. And for some reason, it had 40 people on it. It gave way. 20 of them were swept into the ocean. 20 others held on for dear life.
7 people over the age of 70, sadly, lost their lives.
3 remain in critical condition at the hospital.
And we talk about the infrastructure issue and lack of pay and people willing to take the jobs of the safety inspector and all of the across the country where we have an infrastructure crisis. I don't know that I've ever seen this with a dock, because when I first heard about it, it was more described as a bridge, like a pedestrian bridge. But when you look at the photos, it looks like every aluminum dock that you've ever walked down to hop on a boat or a ferry or.
Yeah. And I presume this was leading out to the ferry. There is no roadway, no bridge that connects Sapelo Island with the mainland of Georgia.
What they were saying was there was no EMS there, that the people that were there became EMS and frantically trying to throw life jackets where they could find them to people, blankets, all of that stuff. They describe hearing a loud crack before it gave way.
Can I ask a dumb question? You said they were all over the age of 70.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if they were just visiting. Presumably they were.
They were waiting to go back. They were done with their visit.
Right. There was a celebration. But why would you live on an island? And I'm not saying they lived there, but the story that I read prior to this one from NPR said that there are dirt roads and some, you know, small little houses on the island. Why would you live on an island, especially as you get older and older, where there is zero access to health care?
I think that most of those who were there as tourists,
right?
Because this is a destination where they have this annual remembrance, we'll call it a celebration, for that space.
Man, 913-586-7798, 586-7798.
They are calling it, Scott, at this point, obviously a catastrophic failure.
Right.
But a spokesman for the Department of Natural Resources says that a portion of the dock was built but not installed by a certain equipment company based in Georgia about 25 miles away. Hmm. No one there is commenting, as you can imagine. And it looks to me in one of the photos, Scott, that the point of collapse is at the joint where
with the dock. Yeah,
it didn't collapse just in the middle like a V.
So there was a ferry operator who was in the area and was trying to rescue people out of the water. His last name is Grovner, and he's quoted in the story saying, "I couldn't sleep last night. My wife said I was sleeping, but I was hollering in my sleep, screaming, 'I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to get you. I wish I could have done more.'"
We will keep an eye on that investigation as it unfolds and let everybody know what comes of it.
913-586-7798. Sam, Stevie, Dana Wright. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. Story here from CBS News. Girl Scouts of the USA is more than doubling its annual membership fee over the next 2 years to reduce red ink. Dues will stay at $25 for the next year, but then rise to $45 for 2026 membership, and then $65 in 2027. The organization's National Council on Saturday voted to approve the two-step increase, which amounts to a 160% hike in prices, rejecting an initial proposal to increase dues to $85 a year.
Whoa.
Adult membership dues will increase to $30 next year from the $25 currently. I don't mean to be rude, and Maya, my youngest, was in the Girl Scouts for a little while. I don't remember the last time I saw someone in the Girl Scouts.
unless they are selling cookies out in front of like a Price Chopper like or a Hy-Vee.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, and I was a Boy Scout, so I have nothing but fond memories of being in the Boy Scouts. I enjoyed being in the Boy Scouts until I didn't. But I just thought, again, with respect, I kind of thought since they made the Boy Scouts...
The Scouts of America.
The Scouts of America. Yes.
I thought that they had combined.
I thought that the Girl Scouts had kind of just drifted off into obscurity.
I thought that the two had combined and we no longer had separate divisions. But apparently we now have the Scouts of America, who welcomes everyone, and the Girl Scouts.
Hmm. Come cookie time. I'm like, okay, where are you at? Where are you at?
Bouncing from grocery store to grocery store.
The Thin Mints.
Because they put crack in it.
Well, they do put the legal crack in it, which is sugar. We had a story about that yesterday.
Correct.
Did you hear that, Dana?
No, tell me.
Just take a wild guess. How much sugar do you think the average American consumes by weight, by volume?
Yeah, weight.
In a year.
And I'll give you a hint, in pounds.
In a year.
Okay, in a year, because sugar is in every single thing, almost everything we consume.
Yes, it's in almost everything we consume, and then the study also broke down how much we intentionally eat sugar,
right,
or how often we intentionally eat sugar.
Because if you ask me how much do I intentionally eat, like, rarely will I go out like last night and get a turtle sundae from Freddy's, like an ice cream. Like,
right.
Rarely do I do that. But how much do we just consume willy-nilly because it's in everything? It's got to be hundreds of pounds.
Oh, well, no.
100 pounds?
You're over. You're over.
Still. 100 pounds.
Nope, still over.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be terrible.
What, 89?
Well, 80 pounds is still terrible.
That's still a lot.
Was it 80 or 89?
80 pounds. It was 99 grams per day. That breaks down to 36,000 grams per year. 80 pounds.
That's a lot. All right, listen. I have an appointment on Monday. And
yesterday?
next Monday. And this actually happened to me today. I was emailing back and forth with a client. And I said, hey, part of your address cut off. Can you just confirm the number? And it was in the 100s, but I wanted to be sure it, you know, wasn't way south and it was 201st. I just wanted to be sure. The reply I got was, it's a white house with a red door. This is the exact address. Sorry that it got cut off. And it has a political sign in the front yard. It doesn't even matter for who, Scott. It was like a local, you know, not a school board election, but it was not presidential.
Like county commission.
Like, let's say a county commission.
Okay.
That you will see. And then it said ... That is if it isn't stolen again by the time you get here Monday. I swear to you, this was an exchange I had with a woman today. Okay.
All right.
Then this story in the Kansas City Star. An AirTag leads to a woman who has a trunk full of stolen political signs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's video in the state of Missouri. Did you talk about this yesterday?
No.
Someone AirTagged their signs.
Mm-hmm.
When a Missouri couple's Kamala Harris campaign sign went missing, they said they tracked it down. Confronted the alleged thief and discovered a trunk full of stolen signage. Quoting here from Laura McCaskill, this is the fourth time my sign has been stolen. Tired of her sign vanishing from her front yard, she and her partner decided to attach an Apple AirTag to one of them. Boom!
Is this local?
Yes! When it happened again on the night of October 18th, they followed the AirTag. I'd be careful. These people are crazy. But they followed the AirTag, and it led to an encounter with the alleged culprit outside of a home in Nixa. Okay?
Okay.
We followed up on this one, she says, as it was not just a few, but it appeared more than 59 signs stolen in their neighborhood. Okay? It shows the couple talking to someone outside of the home, who appears to be a young man or a teenager, telling them about their missing sign and explaining that, our AirTag brought it to your door. Then the kid opens the trunk of an SUV, revealing not one, but dozens. Well, this is where they all are, you hear. And we're going to have Sam look at this video over the break and make sure it's clean.
Okay.
At that moment, a woman, the accused thief's mother, walks into the frame, grabs several signs, and throws them toward the couple, saying, here you go. And then I won't say the word she used. Mom, stop that, the teenager says, tells her to go inside. When the couple says how many signs are there in that trunk, the young man says about 60.
Wow.
Quoting here from her, I expected to find the AirTag, but not 59 signs. This is my question. What good does it do? Because I know people are doing this. I've seen friends of mine post. Someone took our sign again. We're not making this political. I'm not making this political. What good do you think it does when you are roaming around town stealing 59 Kamala signs?
Don't mention a candidate.
Because you're not going to change the way that person is voting. You're not going to change really the way anyone's voting because people are so dug in. You would agree with that?
Absolutely. Yes. I have had political signs stolen out of my yard. And as you read that, and I'll answer your question in a second. When I was a senior in high school at Lansing, Mr. Andrews, who was our social studies teacher, gave us an assignment. It happened to be during the election of 1988. Between Michael Dukakis and George H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there were other elections going on at the same time. And our class assignment, Mr. Andrews said to us, and I just bumped into him a couple weeks ago, I don't remember how many points we would get, but we had to go out and get campaign merch, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Buttons or whatever.
Or, you know, bumper stickers. So the real work would be to find out where the Democrats had their building and where the Republicans had their building, or the Libertarians even, and just go in and say, hey, can I get some merch? You know, it's for a class project, whatever. One of my dear friends, he ended up being my roommate in college, John Rout, had a pickup truck, and he drove around Lansing stealing yard signs, came to school the next day with more than 100 yard signs in the bed of his truck. The police were there quickly.
I bet. Because at $20 a sign, and they say this to the kiddo, I don't know if it's the mom or the kid that stole the signs, but she says, you have committed a felony. The signs are about $20 a piece. That puts the total value north of $1,000. When asked why he took the signs, he said, I got the idea on social media. I saw it on TikTok. I saw a guy, he just filled his house up with some buddies. I'm not saying it's right or anything. Why did you pick our neighborhood? She asked. I was just in the area, ma'am.
Yeah. So in my neighborhood, I haven't seen anybody stealing signs. I have seen people steal signs before. What I've noticed in my neighborhood, I won't mention the politician's or candidate's name, but as you drive down this long, windy road from Shawnee Mission Parkway to my neighborhood, there are, because there's a polling place right there at the library, there are a million signs up and down this road. A million. And I noticed this morning when I was going back home, there is one particular candidate's signs who have not been stolen, but are all laying on the ground. One candidate and one candidate only. So you're not stealing it.
I don't know what we do, because police have bigger issues on their plate than tracking down an AirTag with a SUV full of stolen political signs. I don't know what the answer is. And it feels like it's worse today than it was in other election cycles. But there are other people that would say there were other election cycles where it was bad, too.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. Why? Why do people do this? And let's keep candidates out of it. Why are you shaking your head in there, Sam?
Why are we even giving out the phone number?
Well, let me give you an idea. Someone who I like very much is running for a political office that would not be considered a political office. You know, there are certain jobs that are supposed to be apolitical, and I know you can roll your eyes at that. Friend just texted, his signs are constantly being stolen.
913-586-7798. That's also the text line, and it's at this time we ask you to start sending in your jokes as well, because we're going to do Terrible Joke Tuesday. Coming your way at 3:45 here on Dana and Parks. Keep the terrible jokes a-coming. Just remember, your joke has to be terrible but arable. Read that, dad jokes. Okay? We're talking about the story out of Nixon, Missouri, though, until we get to 3:45 for terrible jokes, where a woman, it has been found, was apparently driving around the neighborhoods, stealing and putting into her trunk political yard signs. I can honestly say I've never stolen a yard sign in all of my life and never will. but I have had yard signs stolen out of my yard. Even had one ripped up one year because they didn't like the candidate I liked. JT in Shawnee, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I just wanted to share with you that crazy doesn't only apply to the national level on these signs. I ran a friend's campaign for city council here in one of the local municipalities, and people were stealing his signs out of front yards. Same municipality, a friend of mine was running for mayor one year, and his opponent was stealing signs out of yards.
No, you know, in fact, the story I was telling Dana just a minute ago, JT, about this one particular political candidate whose signs were taken out of the ground and just laid there on the grass. She is running for, I believe, a state house seat.
I love the really creative ones. There's a house along a major thoroughfare here in this city that I drive past regularly that constantly has ones that are not for either political party. They say things like, literally anybody else, 2024.
Or you've seen Travis and Taylor, 2024. Yeah.
Those are fun.
Do you remember the sign? Was it 2 years ago or four, Dana? And you were the first one that spotted it, sent me a picture. It said, I'm not running for anything. I'm just a blank hole, and I wanted a sign. Do you remember that?
I do, and it was on the way to
Mission,
work.
It was on Mission
Road. It was
Road.
Either on Mission or Row. It was right on my way in.
I'm not running for anything. I'm just a blank and wanted my own sign. Paul in Kansas City. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Scott, how you doing? A little different tack on civility. I voted today in Missouri out at 112th and Hickman. I'm in Ward 10, which is a working middle-class retirees like me district, and it was packed. The whole parking lot was packed. It took us 2 hours to get through, but I want to tell you something. Those poll workers were magnificent.
Yeah.
They had a traffic control plan. They had TCPs. My daughter voted yesterday in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is the battleground state that will decide the election. She showed up at a library. She said, Dad, it took me an hour to park, 3 hours in line. We stood out in the heat. People were going down with heat exhaustion. People were getting agitated. And today in South Kansas City, I was so proud of my city and those poll workers. It was awesome. Fantastic.
You know, Paul, and I'm
they're
glad.
They're always so good, though.
Yeah, they are. Very professional, very kind. But I'm glad we now, and it's not new, but it started several years ago, I'm glad we now do the early voting, because I think it was your daughter, you said, who went to early vote today and it took her an hour to park. Can you imagine if the only day we could vote was on Tuesday, November 5th? I mean, it would take people hours and hours. And if I'm not mistaken, an employer is only legally required to give you 3 hours to vote on election day.
Scott, you're spot on. And she's in North Carolina, which is a very contentious state because it's one of the seven. And she said, Dad, they left. People, the EMTs had to stay on station because people were going down.
Oh, that is terrible.
It was horrible over there. And today I went to South Kansas City in my ward, my polling station. People were happy. People were talking. I was helping a lady with the chairs. We moved through the line. It's just great civility. It's just good to be an American in that situation. I'm so proud of Kansas City.
Well, it's a great call, man. Thank you for making it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I've noticed that, too. And he said his daughter was in North Carolina, I believe, which, of course, is a swing state. But even in a state like Kansas, which is not, I could not help but notice, because my early voting place is the library down the street from my house, that parking lot, which is not filled every day, everybody's at the
right.
library, that parking lot has been packed since Saturday. Packed. Kim in Blue Springs. Kim, good afternoon. 586-7798.
Hey, good afternoon. No lie about the absentee voting. I'm going to have to vote absentee. I'm going to be out of town. I had an appointment on the square in Independence this morning. I thought, well, when I get done, I'll just walk across the street to the election board and vote. No. it was like the war of the worlds up there on the square. My goodness. But anyway, I was going to talk about the signs being stolen. I guess it was about 2010, I think. There was a ballot initiative, and that sign, because in Missouri you can do, ballot initiatives if you collect enough signatures
right.
on an initiative petition.
Mm-hmm.
And the sign kept getting stolen out of my yard. Well, I finally caught the woman, and she just pulled up and just walked into my yard like nothing doing, and she wasn't even in a hurry.
And what did you say?
It was a ballot
initiative. in her little, and this was before, you know, ring cameras and everything, in her little Tinkerbell scrubs with her little Tinkerbell keychain. And I said, what do you think you are doing? And she just looked at me. I said, this is stealing. And I had a receipt for the signs I had purchased.
Good.
And she said, no, it's not. I mean, I called the police. And they were here in 4 minutes. And I told them, you know, of course, they started giving me the business about night court reports. And I said, look, all I want you to do is explain to her that this is stealing because she's not listening to me.
Right.
And then she realized she recognized me. She worked at a local vet clinic. She goes, oh, you're so-and-so's mother. She named my dog. And I'm like, oh, good grief.
Wow. So she knew you and still was unfazed by the fact she had stolen this and gotten caught?
And the fact that I called the police.
Did you call her employer?
No, I did not.
Huh.
But I just wanted them to make sure that she understood that this was, in fact, stealing. Because she didn't get that. Not to mention trespassing.
Who doesn't understand that taking something out of someone's yard that does not belong to you is stealing?
She just didn't see it that way.
Okay.
she just thought she was doing public service.
Right. And you know what else, Kim? That human being votes.
And I wouldn't trust my dog with her anymore.
Well, she was like a vet tech or a receptionist. I can't remember, but I haven't seen her in years. But it was a clinic that I only went to for certain things. So
okay.
It wasn't my regular vet.
Well, Kim, I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Be well. From the text line, Dana, OMG, I just saw your house ad on Insta. It is absolutely genius.
Thank you. We can't play it on the air.
No, that's because you say the F word about 20 times.
Only 20?
25?
Michael Mackey makes a cameo. It's on Instagram at Radio Dana. If you want to see it, you can go see it, but don't crank it up if you're near children. But it's funny. It's not it's not vulgar.
What?
Well, it's not vulgar in the traditional sense of vulgarity.
How do you find vulgarity?
Well, you know, something that you would be like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know. Maybe somebody finds that word vulgar. I don't.
It definitely is vulgar.
I don't think as a verb, I don't find that to be vulgar.
The term vulgar.
It's used as an adverb in your spot.
No, it's a verb.
No, by is the verb. The word before it is the adverb.
It is up on the Dana Wright KBZ page, and it is up on Radio Dana at at Insta. I have tagged Zillow and Zillow Gone Wild.
When did you get on Instagram?
I've always been on Instagram. I just don't use it very often because I'm over the age of 40.
I, too, did not know that you had an Instagram until just now.
I just don't. I'm never on there, Sam. You know why? I can't add another thing. I go into Instagram, and I've got 96 unread direct messages, and it just makes me, like,
it gives. How is that different from your Facebook?
It gives me hives.
Well, she doesn't read the direct messages on her Facebook.
Oh, okay.
She would on Insta.
Also true.
No, it's not. If the F word bothers you, then it's vulgar.
Then
if
this
it doesn't,
ad is not for you.
Then if it doesn't bother you, there's nothing inappropriate about your self-produced commercial.
From the text line, my sign says giant meteor 2024.
We can only be so lucky.
Accurate.
Terrible jokes. When we return, send in your terrible but arable joke to 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Oh, it's our favorite time of the week other than Festivus Friday. It is Terrible Joke Tuesday. Get your terrible jokes in now at 913-586-7798. Hey, Dana.
Yes, Scott.
From 4228, what's the easiest way to make a glowworm happy?
What is the easiest way to make a glowworm happy?
You cut off its tail. It'll be delighted.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam.
Did you hear about the tick that... Hey, Scott.
Did you just rewind your tape?
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam.
Did you hear about the insane little insect they found on the moon?
No.
Yeah, it was a lunar tick. Messed that one up.
Boy, you really messed that one up. Hey,
off
Sam.
To a great start. Yes, Dan.
What did the horse say after it tripped?
I don't know.
Help, I've fallen and I can't giddy up.
Hey, Dana.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the lady who used 101 Elmo puppets to make a coat?
I did not.
Yeah, they called her Cruelmo DeVille.
Get out.
Sam?
So bad. That's so bad.
We're going to have your annual review tonight.
Oh, I haven't even had one yet. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam.
Why is pirating so addictive?
I don't know.
Once you lose your first hand, you're hooked.
Okay. Hey, Dana.
Yes, Scott.
7551. Why are libraries the tallest buildings in the world?
Why?
Because they have so many stories.
Hey, Scott.
Dana.
What do you call an angry carrot? A steamed veggie.
Okay.
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
Why did the pirate start going to Gold's Gym?
Why?
He wanted to improve his booty.
Okay. Hey, Sam.
Yes?
I tell you, I took a Microsoft class in high school.
No.
Yeah, I excelled in it.
Oh, my.
Hey, Dana.
Yeah?
From 9708, you know, I think I've watched most of Stephen King's movies, but it remains to be seen. You want me to do that slower?
Yeah, I do.
Did I tell you that I've watched most of Stephen King's movies, but it remains to be seen?
Got it.
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
Knock, knock.
Yes, who's there?
Ah-ooh.
Ah-ooh. Who?
Werewolves of London.
Scott, what do elves learn in school?
I don't know.
The alphabet. Sam?
Yes?
Where was King David's temple located?
I don't know.
Beside his ear.
Hey, Scott.
Sam.
Did I ever tell you that I don't trust stairs?
No.
Yeah, they're always up to something.
Hmm.
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
Did I tell you that I can't ride on an elevator?
No.
I take steps to avoid them.
Hey, Sam.
Yes, Scott.
Did I tell you I have a chicken-proof lawn?
No.
Yeah, it's impeccable.
Hey, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that Fruit of the Loom took Haynes to court?
No.
It was a briefcase.
Scott.
Oh, come on. That was great.
Yeah. Why can't you trust the king of the jungle?
I don't know why.
Because he's always a lion.
Hey, Dana.
What?
Fun fact, if you cut off your left arm,
yeah,
your right arm would be left.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
How do you organize a space party?
I don't know.
You plan it?
Hey, Scott.
Yeah?
What's the number one cause of divorce?
I don't know.
Marriage.
Okay.
Hey, Scott.
Dana.
What do cows read the most?
I don't know.
Cattle logs.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
I woke up laughing this morning. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, I must have slept funny.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Did I tell you I lost an electron?
Really?
Yeah, you really have to keep an eye on them.
Get out.
A nice chemistry joke. I like that one.
Hey, Dana, did I tell you I went to the paint store to get thinner?
No.
Yeah, it didn't work. Read that slower?
No, I got it.
Okay.
That was good.
Come on, that was good.
What did the lettuce say to the celery, Sam?
I don't know. What did it say?
Quit stalking me. Scott, what's small and red and has a rough voice?
I don't know.
A horse radish? Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Why do mushrooms get invited to all the parties?
I don't know.
Because they're such fun guys.
Oh, my God.
She is reading the oldest terrible jokes that we've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
Who doesn't like a good fun guy joke?
And here come the pirate jokes.
Oh. Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Yep.
What does a dyslexic pirate say?
I don't know.
Rawr!
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Why are pirates called pirates?
I don't know.
They just are.
Hey, Dana.
What?
How do you make a pirate mad?
How do you make a pirate mad?
You take away the P, then he'd be irate.
Hey, Scott, how do pirates like to cook their steaks?
I don't know.
On a barbecue.
Hey, Scott.
Oh, God.
What did the pirate say when he turned 80?
I don't know.
I'm 80.
Okay.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Hear about the pirate that walked into a bar with a big ship wheel down his pants?
No.
The bartender said, "Excuse me, sir, you know you got a ship's wheel down the front of your pants?" The pirate replied, "Arg, it's driving me nuts."
Hey, Scott.
Winner! What?
Where do ye find a pirate who's lost his wooden leg?
I don't know, Sam. Where do ye?
Right where ye left him.
Quick break for the news.
He's driving me nuts.
Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum here on Dana and Parks. That was a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.